Good Monday morning. Thanks for joining us on the show here on 91.5 KJZZ in Phoenix with Lauren Gilger. I'm Steve Goldstein. Coming up this hour is the future of the U.S. Air Force in space. Plus, Arizona Highways has focused its latest issue on just one man.
But first, before last week's accident involving a self-driving car that struck and killed a woman in Tempe, the vehicles were already not living up to expectations. That's according to a New York Times article by our next guest, Daisuke Wakabayashi. He joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So first, tell us, what problems were these autonomous vehicles having before the accident happened last week?
The cars were very unreliable still. It was, they had a lot of problems in terms of, from basic things like changing lanes to navigating construction zones or even dealing with kind of tall and long vehicles such as like tractor trailers. And so it required a lot of the human drivers who were supposed to be kind of just monitoring the car to take over and essentially navigate the car out of troublesome situations.
Was there a question about why, especially when the video came out related to this accident, why there was only one driver, one person in the car?
I'm not sure that a ton of questions came up at that moment, but as we did our reporting, we spoke to people who were familiar with the operations there. They started, they did point out to the fact that around November, Uber decided to go from two drivers in one car to one driver in a car, mm-hmm. with that one driver being responsible for not only obviously monitoring the car, but also some data input.
So how were these tests going for Uber compared to other self-driving companies like Waymo, which is also here?
Yeah. Waymo's cars have been on the road for almost since 2009. Uber started since 2016. So it's not, Uber's cars were way behind in terms of reliability. And even other cars, companies like Cruise, if you look at a figure called miles per intervention, which is kind of how often a human driver has to take control of the car, mm-hmm. Uber's is two or three magnitudes, orders of magnitude worse off than the Waymo cars.
Right. Okay. There is also a lot in your article about sort of the culture at the company and about the pressure that these drivers were under. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the race to get these autonomous vehicles on the road is incredibly competitive. And the winner has potentially huge financial incentive to do so. And so Uber, like all the other companies involved, are trying to push ahead. And, they're at a disadvantage. Uber specifically is at a disadvantage because they started behind. And so, drivers were told to let the cars, stress the cars a little bit, push them a little bit so that they essentially are put into more situations where it's kind of more useful for engineers to learn from. And so if it's, driving thousands of miles on a highway, it's easier driving, but maybe less useful for engineers. And so the drivers were told to kind of stress the cars. And that's kind of a challenging situation for a lot of drivers.
Right, right. So what steps has Uber taken in response to your reporting and also in response to this accident?
Well, in response to the accident, they've grounded all the autonomous vehicles, and the NTSB is investigating the accident. I can't imagine that they're going to put the cars back on the road before the NTSB finishes their investigation. But I think specifically, Uber has kind of said, look, we never thought the second person makes much difference in terms of safety, that they believe that the second person was only there for data input, and some of the data input responsibilities they handed over to the driver, they've done so in a way they feel is not distracting. A lot of the drivers there will tell you they don't necessarily agree with that, but, that's the company's point of view.
Right. I want to ask you just one last question about sort of Uber's reputation and also the general public's view of companies like Uber and of this technology, which is going to take public buy-in to be successful in the end. What do you think this has done for that?
Obviously, this is a major setback for that. What's crazy to me is that that we as a society are allowing tech companies to kind of beta test this equipment on the road with other drivers, and and there's really no guidelines, strict guidelines on how they're supposed to test the car. So when Uber decided to go from two drivers to one, that was totally their decision. And so, you know, I think what we might need as a society is to kind of examine where we feel comfortable about allowing companies to make their own decisions in terms of beta testing these things on the road.
All right. Daisuke Wakabayashi reports on technology for The New York Times. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks.